This is the prayer for illumination. O Lord, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, may it not just wash over us, but soak into us deeply and quench our parched places. Amen. The scripture for today is John 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A question. How's your core strength this morning? When I wrote that question last Friday, the rain and snow had not yet begun to fall. There was, though, a sense in the look of the sky and their foreboding forecasts that rain and snow was indeed coming. And I wondered how my physical and spiritual core strength would handle what greeted me come Sunday. Did I have the core strength to once again dig out the snow shovel and heave heavy, wet snow off the walk and my long driveway? Did I have the spirit to believe that spring really was here and that the promise of summer was right around the corner, despite this cold, wet stuff trying to convince me otherwise? Which brings me back to our assessment. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong do you feel at your core this morning? If you're like me, you probably don't think that much about the condition of your core. On a physical level, our attention is easily focused on how big the bulge is at our bicep to help us lift things. And how great is the stamina in our legs to run. And then on a societal level, our attention is easily occupied by heavy traffic, construction detours, presidential campaigns, and all the rigors of work and family and home and all the other daily demands. And yet, the book of Ephesians raises our awareness and draws our attention to other possibilities, deep possibilities, core possibilities, possibilities that begin and continue to grow out of the presence of the Holy Spirit living deep within each of us. It reminds us that it is the core strength that is so important. It is where the true strength to lift heavy loads and run long distance comes from. And more than that, it is the core strength that keeps us in balance and helps us sit up straight and stand up tall. Our Ephesians passage this morning is remarkable in that it is a prayer written for each and every one of us. So let us hear it now. Let us pray. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith that has been and is being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within you is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So this prayer in Ephesians arises from Paul's commitment to his mission to spread the word of what God has done in Christ to the Gentiles, everyone who is not a Jew. And Paul knows a thing about weakness, having confessed that he is weak. Aren't we all? So Paul knows our tendency to lose heart, to become overwhelmed and frustrated and worried, and gives us this powerful prayer to wrap up chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. And his prayer tells us where we are to find this power to overcome our weakness. It is the power of God's Spirit. But more specifically, it is the Spirit within us, in the very core of our being, where we find our strength and power. It reminds me of a time now long ago when my son was hardly 5 years old. He had swallowed an apple seed, and he was very upset. And as I was trying to comfort him, I discovered that he was worried that the seed would grow into an apple tree inside him. No wonder he was scared. But as I reflect on it now, what a lovely image in Paul's prayer that as we accept Christ into our lives, he becomes rooted and grounded within us, begins to grow within us, begins to accomplish more within us than we could ever hope or imagine, and then grows out from us, producing all kinds of amazing fruit. fruit that is loving and joyful and encouraging and helpful and gentle and kind. Now that's powerful. That's real power. That is power that makes a true difference in our lives and the lives of the entire world. The power of the Holy Spirit living in us and strengthening us at our core. Though I have to say that this strengthening of our inner being can show up in the most unlikely times and places, often without fanfare or the usual trappings that come with worldly power. Quite frankly, it can look like nothing. But isn't that how seeds grow within the ground, quietly and unnoticed? Several years ago, when I was on the staff at another church, we took a staff retreat in Colorado Springs at Camp La Forêt in the Black Forest. I'd been there a couple of times before, and I was looking forward again to walking their labyrinth. They have a wonderful labyrinth that is kind of down in this clearing surrounded by a stand of trees. Some of you may know, some of you have experienced or will experience in your life that a labyrinth can be an important spiritual tool to get in touch with things in your being, in touch with God. Sometimes people, as they get ready to enter and walk the labyrinth, might have a question. They maybe pray it or say it, or it's just there in their mind as they enter in and begin walking the labyrinth. Well, I was a very newish, I would say, pastor at the time, and I had a question. It was, what about my ministry? I faithfully and quietly entered the labyrinth and began walking every twist and turn. Arriving at the center, I sat on the little logs that were there. I might have prayed, I might have just sat there. And then after a while, I began my walk out. And about the time I thought nothing was happening by way of my receiving an answer to my question, I got this answer. You are the pastor that you are. Don't strive. You are the pastor that you are. Don't strive. Not exactly what I wanted to hear. But okay, somehow I'll try to get it, do it, understand it. And so I have in these ensuing years. Because it is my biggest challenge. Don't strive. Coming from the corporate world where everything was based on productivity, striving was kind of my MO. And what's more, all of my life, I had worked hard, taking the initiative, being resourceful. I had been since childhood a striver. A striver among strivers. This was not going to be easy. How could I now follow God's direction to me? Don't strive. But I strove to not strive. Go figure, huh? And it wasn't until I was studying my passage for today in Ephesians 3. When I was preparing my message to, you know how they say the preacher preaches the message they need most to hear. that I realized what was going on and why it was so hard for me to understand. Don't strive. I realized that striving for me was a way of trying to gain some control, to make sure I was okay, that I was accepted, that I had a chance to be loved and a chance to live a meaningful life. So I strove to gain those things. I thought that was what I had to do to survive. But our Ephesians prayer tells me something very different. It reminds me who I am, who is within me, and where true power, my core strength, comes from. You see, the strength of being a pastor, being loved, living a meaningful life, is not about who I am, but it's about who Christ is in me. So I believe it is for all of us. The Holy Spirit strengthens our inner being. The Spirit releases us from striving. And the Spirit empowers us to live lives of love from the inside out. Often it is in the letting go of the don't strive that we begin to experience the power and freedom of God's blessings. The history of Christianity and human experience is full of examples of people who have gained by letting go. The German chemist Friedrich Kugel had worked hard for months and months without success to discover the structure of benzene. One day, exhausted and discouraged, he stopped striving and lay down to rest. In that rest, he had a daydream where he saw a snake seizing its own tail. And it was from this simple image, which came from somewhere within him, that he gained the inspiration to discover the unusual ring structure of benzene. Many of us have experienced the futility of striving to attain happiness or love, the striving that can be like chasing a butterfly. The more we chase it, the more it eludes us. It's only after we have stopped our frantic pursuit and collapsed in total exhaustion that the butterfly comes and lands on us. The Ephesians prayer is great and great for us, not because of Paul's power of prayer, but because of the power of God within Paul, who strengthens his inner being and thereby ours. This is the good news for us individually, and it is the good news for us together as the body of Christ, the church. You see, the Holy Spirit is the divine breath that breathes through the entire body, our body, the church, and enlivens the Christian community and all people for God's work in the world. And each of us finds his or her strength not only by way of an individual spiritual journey, but also through our connection to and participation within the body. Amen.